What's up? How's it going? Don't be lying. Turn your Bibles over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18 is what we're going to be going through. Title of the message is Having the Right Perspective. Having the Right Perspective. And I think it's important, the perspective that we have. Sometimes we can have ungodly perspectives. We can have perspectives that are worldly, psychological, man's wisdom, so to speak. But those really don't help us. The only thing that really helps us is to have God's perspective on our situations, on the things that we go through, on the problems that we have. We can only have God's perspective, and that's really what gets us through these things. So notice, if you read with me here in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, Paul says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your gracious mercy and just the privilege, Lord, of being able to teach your word. So I pray, Lord, that you would have your hands on all of us tonight. Lord, as we seek your face, we pray that you would teach us, that we would set aside all the things, Lord, that tend to take us away from your word, that tend to take us away from you, Lord, when you're trying to speak to us. Won't you squash those thoughts and squash those worries and, Lord, really cause us to be able to hear your voice. So give us ears to hear. Give us eyes to see your word. Lord, give us minds of understanding and hearts that would receive your word. And we pray this in your precious name. Amen. So before I start, I want to let everybody know that the church is going well. We have like three rattlesnakes, and we got a couple of roadrunners. They kind of worry the rattlesnakes, but then we have about four rabbits, and they're good. Just kidding. The church is going great. We have a lot of good people out there. The church is growing. God is just blessing the work out there, and so it's so amazing that. It's so amazing to me that God would even do anything out there with me out there. So, Pastor Terry, I don't know, I worked here for 11 years, and that's why he got rid of me. So, banished. But praise the Lord, God moved his heart so he could bring me back for a minute. Anyway, in this passage here, we can see three things that we can note in these verses. Number one, we have the inward perspective. The inward perspective. And number two, we have the outward perspective. And number three, we have the eternal perspective. So as I was saying before, having the right perspective can be the difference between enduring in our relationship with the Lord or just crashing and burning is what we can do. When we have the wrong perspective, then we'll crash and burn and we'll walk away from our relationships with the Lord. We live in a society that pushes giving up, by the way. I don't know if you knew it or not, but nowadays burnout is a legitimate disease. I don't know if you heard about that. All it is carnality. It's just people relying on their own strength rather than in the strength of the Lord. And so we need to have a biblical perspective rather than a worldly perspective if we're going to walk with the Lord. So notice the inward perspective. Paul says in verse 16, "Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So the first thing that Paul wants us to know is that we do not lose heart. As Christians, we just don't lose heart. Or basically what he's saying is you don't give up. It's always too early to give up. It's always too early to give up on your relationship with your Lord, to give up on church, to give up on ministry, to give up on living for Christ. It's always too early to give up. And as a Christian, we are not to lose heart, or we're not to give up. Christians have no excuses for giving up, by the way. It might be okay for unbelievers to give up. It might be okay for them to use excuses like burnout or calling sin a disease or a different lifestyle. But for the Christian, we have no excuses, really none, because we've been set free by the blood of Christ and we've been empowered by His Holy Spirit. So what kind of an excuse do we really have? Nothing. Because Christ has taken care of it all if we've truly surrendered our hearts over to Him. I'm not saying that we won't go through problems. We will. But notice, it really doesn't matter what happens. We're these clay pots, Paul would say earlier, that hold a treasure, the treasure of Christ within us. And because we have Christ in us, then it doesn't matter if we feel the pressures of life. Why? Because we'll never be crushed, he says. It doesn't matter if we're perplexed, because we won't be in despair. That word perplexed means to be at a loss, literally to be without a way or to be without resources. But we are not in despair, meaning that we are not utterly without a way, because the way we have is Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." That's who we have. So I don't know where you're at right now with all of these things, with the pressures of work, the pressures of married life, the pressures of family, the pressures of, maybe you've experienced a divorce, and that has all kinds of different pressures along with it, trying to be a godly man in the middle of all that, and then take care of your kids if you have them. It's a hard thing to deal with. But we have the way, the truth, and the life, which is Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. We may be persecuted, but we're not forsaken, because the Lord has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We might be struck down, but we're not destroyed. You know, this is the difference in our perspective. Yeah, we might get hurt. Yeah, we might get killed. So what? It was Jesus who said, "Don't worry about those people who can only kill the body." When we were in the world, we didn't care, did we? When we were in the world, we didn't care about dying, or we just basically didn't care. I know in my life, while I was in the world, I didn't care. I would threaten people that would try to kill me. So why are we caring now? As Christians, we don't have to worry. And so that means that we can go out and we can witness to anybody. We can share the love of Christ with anyone. We don't have to worry about being disrespected. So what? We don't have to worry about them killing the body. So what? That just means we'll be with Christ sooner. That's all that means. And so we have a guarantee with the Lord. And so even though we're always carrying around the death of Christ in us, it's the life of Christ that pours through us. And so I like that. He's taken me from death into life, but so that I could die to myself as well and allow His life to pour out of my life to others. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." So He's our hope and He's the glory. So notice, this leads Paul to say that even though our outward man is perishing or dying, that even though our physical bodies are taking a beating, we don't have to be anxious over that, because the soul of the person is who we really are. It has nothing to do with these bodies. You know, we don't have to worry about these things. And so the soul of the person is what really matters, and it's the inner man that's to be renewed day by day. I don't know about you guys, but back in the day when I was working here, I was over the youth ministry, and I would be out on that basketball court chasing youth down, playing basketball, stuff like that. Those days are in the fond past. Because if I try to do it today, it would come with a lot of huffing and puffing, and that would only be after I stepped on the court. Because that's a long walk out there. But, you know, it's these bodies might get beat up or torn down or whatever, but we don't have to worry about that because our souls are being renewed day by day. Too many of us, I think, are worried about our bodies. Not that we shouldn't take care of our bodies. By all means, we should. But oftentimes, we just get fanatical with it and we start, you know, it's all about our bodies. And we forget that these bodies are going to perish or that when Christ comes back, He's going to change them. So, you know, if you went to a plastic surgeon, all that money's wasted. It's just wasted. So, you know, good luck with that. It's not about the body as it is about the inner man. We need to grow in Christ. We need to make it our business to really have a perspective on what's going on with the inside rather than what's going on the outside. And so we can't be concerned over the outer body, but rather we should be concerned with our relationship with the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Are you in love with Jesus more today than when you first received Him as your Lord? Are you closer to Him? See, and that's really what counts. Because if we're no closer than we were when we first received Him, then there's something wrong with you. There's something really wrong with you. There's something really wrong with that song. But no, No problem. Was it Jesus? No, I'm just kidding. So anyway. So the question is, are you closer to Jesus today than you were when you first believed? And has that belief translated into riches for others, bringing glory to the Lord? These are the reasons we don't give up. Even though we may be going through trials and challenges that may be even more horrific than we ever thought anything could be, we have a God who can work those things out for our good. You know, we have to have the perspective of Paul, who had that perspective of Christ. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." So now we come to the outward perspective, verse 17. He says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." We know what Paul went through, huh? I don't know if you've ever read what Paul has gone through, but he went through beatings. He went through shipwrecks. He went through dangers from strangers and dangers from people that he knew. He even got stoned to death once. Then he rose up, dusted himself off, and went back to the very people that stoned him and began to minister to them. So it's an amazing thing that Paul does these things, but he's the very one that turns around and he says, "This is our light affliction." I don't know when the last time any of you were stoned without using pot. I mean, when he got stoned, it was with real rocks. You know, that brought a whole new meaning, huh? When he was beaten with rods. When was the last time you were beaten with a rod? I was beaten with a Hot Wheel track by my mom, but that was nothing compared to a rod. You know, and it's just so amazing that he's gone through that, and he turns around and he says, these are light afflictions. These are nothing compared to what I have. And I just kind of wonder what you're going through right now. What kind of problems do you have? Are you at the edge of giving up? Do you think that your problems are so bad that they're overwhelming and you can't get over them? Well, let me just say this, that you're wrong tonight, if that's where you're at. Because we have a God that's greater than your problems. We can't wimp out or be sissies. To be a Christian means that we have to be real men. We thought we were men in the world. We thought we could take pain, take a punch, or call somebody out, or whatever. But then we become Christians, and all of a sudden we become these little crybabies and weaklings, and man, oh, I'm just overwhelmed. I feel like I'm going to burn out. I'm going to church too much. They actually want me to go in early for ministry. I can't do that. I have a job too. Whatever. Give me a break. You know, Paul would be turning over in his grave if he could. Praise the Lord, he's with the Lord, and he's just jumping up and down for joy and laughing. No. he's done his job, right? But he left a great legacy for you and me to follow. You don't hear him complaining about this stuff. He just says it as a matter of fact and what he's gone through, and that it was no big surprise for him. He could actually look at these things in the right way. So what problem or what challenges are you facing? And what's your perspective on them? Are they biblical perspectives or are they carnal perspectives? Are you sitting there feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you getting into the Word? Is it driving you into the Scripture? Is it causing you to fall to your knees and cry out to the Lord who can help you in all of these things? And are you being patient in them? Are you letting God have His way with you through them? See, again, it seems like in today's day, even the simple challenges of having a relationship with other people, getting a job, or being in the midst of a bunch of people at church, or anything like this can cause anxiety. And right away, people are having anxiety attacks. Why? Because there's too many people in the church. I don't know if I can be around them. Man, you are so lucky you did not grow up in the neighborhood. That would not pass. And so it causes anxiety. Even things that back when I was a youngster were just challenges of life. People get anxious because they don't know if this girl's going to like them. Oh no, it's just too overwhelming. I don't know. Whatever. Again, those are no reasons to be anxious. We have the Lord. And so it seems, again, some people are just so overwhelmed with rejection or what this or that or whatever it is. And it seems like things seem to be overwhelming for so many today. And I can really understand the unbelieving world going through that. I really can. I can have an understanding for people who don't believe in the Lord going through anxiety and going through these things, because the world is crazy right now. It really is. You look at everything that's going on, stuff that's happening. But for the life of me, I can't understand why people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are going through these things themselves. And maybe it's because we have the wrong perspective. Maybe because we're not seeing things for what they truly are. And we're allowing those things to control our lives rather than the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Spirit. Could it be that we've submitted to the philosophy of the world, like psychology, and we've allowed that instead to filter into our hearts and in our minds rather than the Spirit, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than the Word of God? I think that's what's happening. That's why psychology, or man's wisdom, is infiltrating the church. And let me just say this. It's not only infiltrating the church, but it's taking away people from having a relationship with Jesus Christ and even turning them away from them. And I know this because my daughter is one of those people that was convinced by a psychologist that she is okay in participating in sin. There's nothing wrong with it. You have to be who you are. Well, she was never made that way or meant to be that way. And so it's kind of weird for me to hear the same things happening to Christians when we have the power of Christ. And so Paul says that we're going to go through things, but they're really light afflictions. And I think he has the authority to speak on that because of what he's gone through, right? He gets to say these are light afflictions. Because he has the right perspective. He knows that this world is temporary. He knows that these things are but for a moment. And let me just say this, that even though, you know, I may, even if I were to live until 900 years like Adam did, they would still be light afflictions. And it would still be temporary. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 speaks of the fact that we're to get together and we're to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. And so this is the reason that we're called to assemble as a church. It's not so that we can take advantage of you or put guilt trips on you, but it's so that you can come and you can deal with those afflictions that are going on with you today. You can come and hear a teaching on it, just like all of you here are here today. Something is going to minister to you as we go through the Word. It's the Word of God. Even if I just read the Word, you would be ministered to without me having to say anything. It probably would have been better if I just read the Word. But that's the thing. Still, God chooses foolish people like myself to bring the message across. And He wants to minister to you tonight. Those of you guys who are feeling inadequate or feeling overwhelmed or getting anxious when you don't have to. And so we're to get together as a church so that we can be ministered by the leadership of the church. And as they teach and model the Word of God, so that we can now turn around and minister to others or one another in that same way. So that we can hold each other accountable, to love one another, encourage one another, to do those things. And so, basically, we're to love one another in the truth. But how can we do that if we're not getting together, if we're too anxious or being overwhelmed because there's too many people in the church, or just being sinful and staying away and we're making excuses for our sin is what we're doing. And so Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." I know that all of you see the days approaching. I mean, look at what's going on with the homosexual movement, with the abortion movement, a place that calls themselves Planned Parenthood, and they discourage parents from being parents by forcing them to get an abortion. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? It's craziness. And so Paul was no different than us. He was a man like you and me. But how was it that he was able to accomplish so much and experience all of these problems and still stay on track? He had the right perspective. He knew, again, that these things were temporary. He understood the power of Christ in him. He understood the power of the Spirit working through him. He knew that. And I think we need to know that. You don't see him complaining about being anxious, going through anxiety attacks. We don't hear anywhere in the Word that he did that. You don't hear anywhere in the Word where he was overwhelmed. It's because he had the right perspective. And I think that's what we need to have as the church. Because when we have the right perspective, especially as men and married men, then we can make the difference for our wives as we model those things. Because I'll tell you what, wives worry, don't they? They worry about the bills. They worry about what they're going to cook for dinner. And they get really mad when they ask what you want to eat, and then you turn around and you say it, and they say, no, I want this. No. But they worry about these things. My wife worries about the way I dress. That's why she makes me wear the clothes I wear. So, but we, as husbands, as men of God, as men of the church, are to trust in the Lord, and we're to model Jesus Christ in our homes. You don't hear about Jesus worrying. As a matter of fact, he said worry was a sin, huh? He said, be anxious for nothing. Pray about all things. And so, again, we cannot afford to be anxious in the church. We need to have this right perspective that Paul had. He had the right perspective on time that we spend here on earth, and he had the right perspective on the trials that he went through. And so he knew that it was nothing when it was compared to eternity. As a matter of fact, Paul may have suffered, but he never suffered as Jesus did. And that's really what he may have been thinking of. In all of his suffering, he knew that his suffering was nothing compared to what Christ went through. When was the last time you suffered like Jesus? Never. I know I never did. I know I never could. And so we can look at our afflictions, the things that you're going through today, as light. And they're just for a moment. Again, Paul has the right perspective because he knows that these things are for a moment. And so it's nothing when compared to eternity. This time is just the proving grounds for us. It's the opportunity to allow the suffering in our lives to conform us to the image of Christ. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which we shall be revealed in us." I like that. These sufferings are nothing compared to the glory. I truly believe that the reason people go into deep depression is because they've lost all hope. The reason people have anxiety attacks is because they aren't able to see a way out. And that's because they can't seem to see Christ in the midst of these things. Like those three young men that were thrown into the furnace. Huh? Those three young men trusted the Lord. They were thrown into the fire. And what happened? Nothing. Why? Because they saw Christ in the midst of it. And as a matter of fact, they just kind of strolled right out when Nebuchadnezzar called them to come out of the furnace. Hey guys, come over here for a minute. And they just kind of strolled out. Nothing was singed. Nothing was burned. The only thing that came off was the ropes. And they didn't even smell like smoke. We need to think about that the next time we're going through a fiery trial. We need to look for Christ in the midst of it. We need to be willing to be taught by Him and to learn from Him in all of that. Because you don't know what the Lord's trying to teach you in the midst. I know that whenever I go through a trial or something, or somebody's going through a trial, I'm always telling them, don't waste this time. Learn from it. See what God is trying to teach you in it, so that you can then turn around and share with others when they're going through it too. You can say, oh man, I know how you feel, bro. This was the lesson I learned. And I know that God wants to teach you something through it. So notice we have this eternal perspective in verse 18, where he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So having the eternal perspective means that I'm not focusing on the things which are seen. I'm not focusing on my problems. I'm not focusing on those things. Yes, the problems are there. Yes, I have to work those problems out, and I work them out in the wisdom of the Word, but that's not my main focus. Because my main focus, if that were my main focus, then I'd be worried and I'd be anxious and I'd be overwhelmed. Because these are things that I can't fix. See? I can't fix them. But I know who does and who can. And I know that if he doesn't fix them right away, it's always for my good. It's never for my bad. But it's always for my good. And so we have to have this eternal perspective. The only way we can do or have a right inward perspective and a right outward perspective is by being eternally minded. This allows us to put things in the right perspective, to know that we don't have to give up because we're being renewed daily. You see, God doesn't leave us or forsake us, and he doesn't leave us out there hanging. He gives us that renewal. How? Through his word. And it's as we're in a relationship with him through prayer. So when we're going through these problems, we hit our knees, we cry out to the Lord, and then we open up the Word. We take this Bible, and we open it up, and when we read it, we seek the Lord's, what? Answers. And he'll give them to us. I can't tell you how many times, as I've gone through the Word, going through problems, how the Lord has answered me in it. Even when I had times of doubt, I could literally feel that hand come out, smack me in the back of the head and say, what are you thinking? Here's the answer. I'm the answer. Here's the answer. Here's what you need to do. And this is how you do it. This is how you respond to that particular problem. Again, anybody can be a man, but to be a Christian man is quite another thing. To be a godly man. And so we have to take the focus off of the things that we see, because all they're going to do is, well, they're going to bother you. I don't know how many of you are addicted to the Fox News or any other kind of news, CNN maybe. I don't know if I can call it news, but but you know, when you hear that stuff, you can just be like, you start focusing on that stuff, you just like, you just be like, oh no, the world's falling. I mean, after all, the world's going to end in 12 years. Give me a break. You know, we got to worry. There's a worry. If we focus on those outward things, we can just crash and burn. But when we begin to focus on the things that are eternal, then we really have a different perspective. We can really see the inside perspective, and we can see the outside perspective. We can have right perspective on those things when we focus on the eternal. See? Because I don't know what you're going through, but know this, it's going to end. Sooner or later, it's going to end. That might mean you drop dead any minute, or it might mean that you learn and grow. It might mean that we get caught up in the air with the Lord. But it, sooner or later, it's going to end. It doesn't last forever. So let's focus on the things of the Lord. Let's focus on those things that will last eternally. Let's focus on those things that will go on before us, that treasure that goes before us into heaven. Let's focus on the things that really matter, right? Which is the Word of God, which is prayer, which is our fellowship, which is our encouraging of one another, which is keeping one another or being willing to risk our friendships to keep one another accountable before the Lord. Kind of like Pastor Terry says, to hold your feet to the fire. We need to be willing to do that at risk of our friendships. We need to do that. And so, I know that we live in a society that's just screaming for our attention, and it can be hard to focus on those things that are eternal. I mean, after all, what more can you do with, you know, when you have like a 75 and 80 inch TV? That will really take your attention away. What more can you do when people are saying we need to care about the earth? What more can you do when we need to care about women's reproductive rights, which are not reproductive at all? So it kind of takes that right away, doesn't it? What more can you do when all these things are screaming for your attention? To be hip, to be cool, to wear skinny jeans and Chucks while you're 60 years old. I'm not going to mention Greg. I'm just not. No, here's that thing is what we do. Old guys trying to be hipsters. Come on. Just be yourself. Trust the Lord. Know that He'll take us through all of these things. Focus on those things that are eternal. You know, I don't know where you're at right now with the Lord. I don't know what kind of perspective you have, but we're going to have the prayer team come up. And they're going to be here to minister to you. Maybe you have been getting overwhelmed. It's not a bad thing to come up and get prayer for that. It's okay. I don't know where you're at with your walk with the Lord. Maybe you don't have a walk with the Lord. Maybe you say, I'm a Christian, but you've yet to open the Bible. Oh, I pray when I'm in trouble. I'm here because somebody invited me. I don't know who's invited you here. Well, let me just say this, is that Jesus Christ loves you. And I know He loves you because He died on the cross for you, and He died for your anxiety. He died for that feeling of being overwhelmed. He died for all of those things. But most importantly, He died for your sin. And He rose again so that you could have life everlasting. He shed His blood so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be washed clean. And so tonight is your opportunity to come up and get right with the Lord, to give your entire life over to Jesus Christ. Some of you here have been compromising. You haven't given your full life to the Lord. As a matter of fact, some of you here are serving out of your convenience as a volunteer rather than as a servant. You ask anybody at my church, well, the church that I serve at, and they know how much I'm against being a volunteer, because there's no volunteers with the Lord, there's only servants. I mean, you didn't volunteer to get saved. And He didn't volunteer to save you. He came down out of His love for you. So I don't know where you're at with the Lord. And so tonight is the opportunity for you to come and make things right. And so let's go ahead and close in prayer. And we'll have the worship team come up. And then I want you to come up and get prayer. Especially you, Rocky. Let's pray. Father, we just want to thank You again for Your gracious mercy and Your love, Your blessings. I pray for every man here tonight. I don't know what they're going through, Lord. I don't know what kind of anxiety they're having. I don't know if they feel like giving up on their walks with You. But I pray that they would have been reminded tonight that it's always too early to give up. And it's never the Christian that needs to give up, because we have You. Help us, Lord, to have the right perspective on these things. Lord, to truly see what these things are about. To know, Lord, that the problems that we're going through, they're nothing but light afflictions, especially with You by our sides. And so I ask, God, that You would have Your hands on these men, and that they would get up, and that they would come and receive prayer. And if they've never received You as their Lord and Savior, that they would make it tonight, that they would give their lives to You. fully and completely. So, Lord, I thank you for your gracious mercy. Amen.